Bless you too, brother. I'm glad you warned me about that business meeting. I'm leaving when I get through preaching. I've been to a few of them. It got ugly. I'm telling you right now. I had a friend of mine had a little problem in his church, and he got up one Sunday morning and said, "Bless God, we're gonna settle it today. I'm tired of this mess, and I want a vote of confidence." He said, "Bless God, if you're for me, and you want me to stay here as the preacher, stand to your feet." Nobody stood up, including his own wife. He said, "I guess that means I go," one of them went. Said these little boys went school one day, and one of them said, "My daddy owns a big motel." He said, "Is that right?" One boy said, my daddy owns a big service station." "That right?" One boy said, "My daddy owns a bank." That little boy said, "I got all of you beat. My daddy owns hell." "How do you know that?" He said, "He come home the other night and said the deacons give it to him. He didn't know what was going on." You'll get that after a while. You blondes are going to wake up at 4 o'clock in the morning and go, "Oh, that was funny right there." But if you promise me it won't break out bad, I'll stick around. You know, come think of it, I ain't never got to vote on nothing, so praise God, I think I'm going to stick around and do this. But thank you for allowing me to come Monday and Tuesday and tonight. I've had a good time. I hope you have. And I've had good liberty. I felt like I'm among friends. And I've never been to this part of the country much. But I appreciate you accepting a stranger. And thank you. I hope the messages have been a help. And put it this way, if I can't help you, I wouldn't ever want to hurt you. I really mean that. I don't think God has called us to the ministry of hurts. I believe he's called us to the ministry of helps. I've enjoyed meeting the moderator, and I've enjoyed staying over at the Trinity Quarters. And I'll tell you, they got some members of that church over there just plumb crazy. I'm just going to tell you right now how it is. But we love them, and it's good to see some of our friends. And thank you so much. Let me make just a quick announcement. We'll be leaving tonight, and then next week we start the 61st annual Greer Baptist Camp Meeting, and it's located 10 or 15 miles north of Greenville. And if I've done my research right, it is the oldest Baptist camp meeting that's still in existence in the South, and it's been around a long time. Maze Jackson, Dr. Seitler, and a couple of local fellas, 61 years ago, the week of the 4th of July, started that meeting. And I mean, for Baptists to do anything for 61 years together, that in itself is a miracle. Of course, we've split about 4 times, but praise God, we're still there. And in 1964, Brother Billy Kelly came, and he led the meeting till 1997. And when he passed away, they asked if I would try to keep the meeting going. And it's the last week in June and the first week of July. And it's not but a couple hours from here. And I encourage you to come. If you can't come for anything else, strike out real early, Friday, July the 4th. And we have a great day that day. About 12 o'clock the night before, they start cooking shoulders, hog shoulders. 650 pounds of hog meat. We make about 20 gallons of coleslaw. And we got 5 wooden barrels that Brother Billy Kelly got from Jack Daniel's Distillery. And I ain't lying. And cleaned them out, and we make lemonade. People love it too, buddy. We have more shouting after the lemonade than before, I tell you that right now. And then we have preaching and singing and the big barbecue. And that starts at 10 o'clock, July the 4th. And we'll go to about 12:30, 1 o'clock and have a big meal. And then we'll find us a shade tree somewhere and crank back up again at 7. And we've got some great preaching that day. Brother T.D. Burgess will be one of our preachers. Dr. Norris Belcher from up in Maryland will be a preacher that day. And Dr. John Hamlin will be one of our preachers that day. And Brian McBride will be one of our preachers. Got a lot of Yankees coming down. We'll pray God to save them during the revival meeting. Amen. But if you can come on that one day, we would love to have you. And you need to come experience the Greer Baptist Camp Meeting. And if you can't come, pray for us and give me an offering before I leave tonight. Brother Moderator, I know what's on your shoulders. It takes a lot to put on a meeting like this. And so do pray. We would love to have you. And if you're ever in the Atlanta, Georgia area, we've got a lot down there to offer. You might want to come see the Braves lose sometime. I was out in a restaurant the other day, and the lady said, "You going to give me a tip?" I said, "Yep, I'm going to give you a tip right here. The Braves ain't going to win the World Series." But if you're ever down our way, we're on the south side of town, a little place called Jonesboro. We got just a little country church in a big city. We'd love to have you come. Pray for me and my family, and that we'll do what's right. God will keep us safe. We're somewhere every Monday and Tuesday of our life trying to stir up God's people. Pray for us. Pray for us. And the hand of the Lord to be upon us. I hope I get invited back, and we're going to pray about it and see if we can't maybe put in a good word with the moderator. But I've really enjoyed being here, and thank you so much for your hospitality. I want you to turn with me tonight, please, to the book of the Song of Solomon, chapter number 5. We will stand together tonight in reverence the reading of the Word of God. The Song of Solomon, chapter number 5. I want to break in this chapter tonight, begin reading in verse number 2. Song of Solomon, chapter 5, and verse number 2. I sleep, but my heart waketh. It is the voice of my beloved that knocketh, saying, "Open to me, my sister, my love, my dove, my undefiled. For my head is filled with the dew, and my locks with the drops of the night." That is his revelation to her. Verse number 3, I want you to notice her response to him. And let me say, sometimes our response is not near as good as his revelation. Notice her response in verse 3. "I have put off my coat. How shall I put it on?" Let me stop and say, it doesn't take a whole lot of energy to put on a coat. And you know, when Paul said, it is our reasonable service, it is not that hard to serve God. God's commands are simple commands. He didn't say build 9 buildings and build 4 bridges and 9 ships and raise $5 million. He said, look. Trust, obey, cast. It doesn't take a whole lot of energy to put on a coat. God is looking for obedience in our response to his divine revelation. I put off my coat, how shall I put it on? I have washed my feet, how shall I defile them? Notice she says in verse 4, "My beloved put his hand by the hole of the door. My bowels were moved for him. I rose up to my beloved, to open to my beloved. And my hands dropped with the myrrh and my fingers with the sweet smelling myrrh upon the handles of the lock. So we see his revelation to her, her response to him. But I want you to notice in verse number 6, his removal from her and her regret for her laziness. Look in verse number 6. I open to my beloved, but my beloved had withdrawn himself. By the time she awoke out of her lethargy, it was too late. He had withdrawn himself. And I believe some of the saddest words in the Bible I'm about to read in verse 6. And was gone. He had withdrawn himself and was gone. My soul failed when he spake. I sought him, but I could not find him. I called him, but he gave me no answer. I want you to be seated tonight, and for a little while I want to preach from these scriptures. I believe tonight the Song of Solomon is a wonderful picture of the fellowship that God wants to have between himself and you and I. May I say this tonight, ladies and gentlemen, that it is a blessed thought that the eternal God of glory would want to fellowship with a lost, unworthy, condemned sinner such as I. To think that the God of eternal glory would take the initiative and love us when we were unlovable, and care for us when we didn't care, and love us in spite of our faults and our failures, that is a truth that amazes and thrills my soul. I believe tonight that God has revealed himself to mankind. I believe God reveals himself through his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible said in sundry times and in divers manners God spake to us. But in these last days has spoken to us through his Son, Jesus Christ. And aren't you glad one day God revealed Jesus Christ into your heart? I love that verse in the Revelation letter where he said, behold, I stand at the door and knock. And I love the divine proposition that he made. If any man hear my voice and open the door, speaking and knocking is his part. Hearing and opening is your part. And he said, if you open that door, I will come in and sup, fellowship. I'm glad that God reveals himself through his Son, Jesus Christ. I believe God reveals himself and speaks to us through the wooing of the Holy Spirit. In fact, the Bible said in the book of John, one of the main ministries of the Holy Spirit, when he has come, he will reprove and convict and convince this world of sin. The greatest day in your life was when the Holy Spirit knocked upon your heart and wooed you to the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe God reveals himself through the preaching of the Word of God. I love Romans' road to salvation. Thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus. Believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead. Thou shalt be saved. I love those verses. For with the heart man believeth to righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. And I really love verse 13. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. But I also realize the next part of that Romans road to salvation. How can they call on whom they have not believed? And how can they believe on whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel and bring glad tidings of good thing. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Through the Son, through the Spirit, through the Scripture, God knocks upon our heart. God woos upon our heart. I like what the old song in the red book says, Jesus spoke to me. I'm glad the Bible said he calleth his own by name. The greatest thing in your life, the greatest truth you will ever discover, that the sovereign God of the eternal glory desires your attention, desires your worship, and desires your praise. And here in our scripture is a picture of God speaking to you and I. But I want you to notice tonight in this text, this bride here was in the condition we find ourselves in sometime. She was asleep. Now, I did a little study on the word sleep. And if you're asleep, you're not dead. You're still alive, but you're unaware of your surroundings. I believe there's a lot of people in our society have been rocked to sleep spiritually because they seem to be unaware of their surroundings. I believe the politicians and the government have been rocked to sleep. Someone asked me the other day, what kind of politicians do we have? And I said, the best that money can buy. You'll get that after a while. And I believe they've been rocked to sleep. I believe the parents in our homes have been rocked to sleep. We've got the inmates running the jailhouse. And the parents have been rocked to sleep. I believe the preachers in the pulpits have been rocked to sleep. I believe the people in the pews have been rocked asleep. I believe the Old Testament equivalent passage would be, we are at ease at Zion. Sometimes we find ourselves cold, lethargic, and indifferent to the things of God. But yet God wants to arouse and awake us out of our sleep. Man, I'm glad he's still speaking. I'm glad he's still knocking. If you go up to somebody's house and knock on their door, that means two things. Number one, you want their attention. Number two, you want to get in there where they're at. Boy, aren't you glad the good God of glory wants our attention tonight. He wants to invade our world. He wants to step and be the Lord and the ruler of our life. And I believe a lot of times as this bride experienced, he knocked and he spake. But she was so comfortable. She had so eased into the comfort zone. She could not find it within herself to get up and answer the door. By the time she arose, by the time she got up, he had withdrawn himself. I really believe there are times that God wants to revive the church, wants to empower the church, wants to lead you and I into the deep things of God. But may I remind you, there is a danger of cruising into the comfort zone. There is a danger of being satisfied with the status quo. And I'll tell you, I believe a lot of times God's got greener pasture. God's got deeper wells. God's got wider coasts for us. But we're asleep and we're not interested and we're cold and we're lethargic. And I want to say a lot of times tonight, we don't get up and we don't answer the door, and we miss opportunity after opportunity to fellowship with the God of heaven. May I quote you a verse out of the book of Isaiah? Seek ye the Lord while he may be found, and call upon him while he is near. It is a privilege that God speaks to us. It is a privilege that God knocks upon our door. It is a privilege that God wants to fellowship with you and I. Not long ago, I have had a very tiresome week. Now, I've heard all of this about preachers being lazy, but I know some of us ain't lazy at all. I had preached twice at our church on Sunday, and I had preached all week the next week in three different states. And by the time I got back to Georgia, bless God, I was in a state of confusion. I woke up a many time and called my wife and said, "Where am I?" I was tired. Came back home and preached twice to get on Sunday, and struck out again for Columbus, Georgia on Monday. By the time I preached in Columbus on Monday night, as they say in the country, I wasn't tired, I was tarred. Now, I'm telling you, tarred is more than just tired. I was wore out. I was mentally, spiritually, physically, and emotionally drained. And the preacher said, "You just go to the motel and sleep in tomorrow, and I won't bother you, and you just show up for church again tomorrow night." And as Brother Sammy Adams would say, I knew that was the perfect will of God. And so, man, I went to my motel that night, opened the door, and I seen a little sign that said, "Do not disturb." And I thought, that's exactly what I'm going to do. I have put in 9 straight days. I deserve a break. I'm physically, spiritually, emotionally drained, and I'm going to get me some rest. So I hung that "Do Not Disturb" sign on that door, closed that door, and as soon as I did, the Holy Ghost of God swelled up in my soul and said, "Yep, that's what you do to me sometimes." Needless to say, I didn't sleep any that night either. The Holy Ghost crawled in that bed, and from about 11 o'clock that night to 6 o'clock in the morning, the Holy Ghost preached to me in that room. He said, "Boy, there's times I want to speak to you. There's times I want to lead you. There's times I want to anoint and empower and reveal fresh truth to your heart. But you're tired. You're wore out. You're mad at somebody. You got the wrong spirit. And you have a do not disturb sign upon your heart." I want to say, I believe tonight the church as a whole, we are drifted into that comfort zone. We're satisfied with status quo, and we might as well go ahead and hang a do not disturb sign upon our heart. God, don't speak to me. God, don't inconvenience me. God, don't upset my apple cart. And I want to say, what a privilege, what a blessing, what an honor that the God of eternal glory desires to fellowship and speak and love. I say tonight, let's get the do not disturb sign off of our heart and let God invade our lives. I don't believe in stealing things from motels. I don't steal the towels. I don't steal the wash rags. I don't steal the pillows. I don't even steal the soap. And so I wasn't going to steal the do not disturb sign. So I made me my own. And this one's bigger anyway. I've gone to a lot of churches to hold a revival. And that's about what I did. hold a revival. And I've got up to try to preach, and they might as well have one of these on their heart. Do not disturb. I've gone as far as I'm going. I've given up all I'm going to give up. I've committed all I'm going to commit. I'm satisfied with my life. I've coasted into that comfort zone. I am finished. And God is speaking, and God is wooing, and we have that do not disturb sign upon our heart. May I remind you tonight, church, that revival will never come. Fresh oil will never come. Holy Ghost unction will never come until we take our sand down and say, oh God, invade our lives again with the mighty power of God. As I lay in that bed that night, the Spirit of God preached to me, and He showed me three categories of people that have a do not disturb sign upon their heart. Number one, think about this tonight, the servant and his service. Let me word it like this. I know a whole lot of preachers. It would be amazed at what God could do in their life if they did not have a do not disturb sign upon their heart. Can I get a witness right there? I've got some friends of mine that the Lord has enabled to pastor the same church for over 50 years. Brother Wade Huntley's been at Holly Springs 50 plus. Brother Bobby Robertson in Walkertown, North Carolina has been at Gospel Light 50 plus. And if that is the will of God for your life, hallelujah. But that may not be the will of God for every preacher's life. Has it ever dawned on you, sir, that God may want to move you? God may want you to go to another place. God may want you to resign your church and be a missionary. God may root you up and put you out in the field of evangelism. I don't know the will of God for your life. Sometimes, young'uns, I barely know the will of God for my own life. But I'm here to tell you, we preached our last sermon under the power of the Holy Ghost. We've grown our last inch in our ministry as long as we got that sign. God, leave me alone. I like my climate. I like my parsonage. I like my environment. I like where I'm at. I'm glad you like it. But there's only one way to be happy in Jesus, and that's to trust and obey. Follow God. Follow God. Follow God. Get that sign off of your heart. Oh my. Almost 24 years ago, I moved to Atlanta, Georgia to pastor that little bitty church. We had 19 people in Sunday school, 35 for preaching, and a broken arm piano player. God bless her heart, she played like she had a broken arm. Boy, I remember looking at that Cracker Box church saying, oh God, don't let this be it. Surely, Lord, you got something better than this for me. God said, right here is where I'm going to knock the pride out of you, boy. Looked at that sign, Willingham Drive Baptist Church, pastor, had an X drawn through it, and the Holy Ghost said, you're their next X. And some of these young, cocky preachers, you need a Baptist church. About 6 months, knock you down to size. Man, we just settled in and started. And beyond my faith and beyond my wildest dreams, God began to bless. I can't believe it. God has brought us into a new facility. God has enlarged our coast. I'm telling you that God be the glory. God has given me everything at that church I could ever desire. I mean, you wouldn't believe a rip, snorting, spitting country boy like me could pastor in the city. I mean, one block from the local country club where all of the dignitaries live. Brick buildings, oak ceilings, chandeliers, stained glass windows, indoor toilets. God has been so good. Sometimes I have to pinch myself to see if it's really me God give it to. Man, we didn't buy it. We didn't borrow the money. God just laid it in our lap. I would tell you about it, but you'd think I'm lying. God let us have $4.5 million worth of buildings and property, and all we got in it is $400,000. You say, I don't think God can do that. Well, you must have missed Monday night's message when I preached on how much more. God has been so good. And I was riding down the road the other day, and I was talking to my wife and my daughter, and I said, you know, God has a strange sense of humor. I said, wouldn't it be just like God, right in the middle of living my dream, root me up, put me back in Podunk, and make me start all over again? That'd be just like God. My wife spoke up. She said, bless God, you leave this church. After all of these years of struggling, I'm going to beat the devil out of you. And let me say to you old men that married them sweet, humble old ladies, pray for the rest of us. About that time, my little girl looked up and she said, Daddy, I'm not leaving. You can leave, but I'm not leaving. And I said, well, they're not going to call you as pastor. She said, no, but bless God, I wish they would. There's a few people I'd like to tell off around here. Couple of days later, my wife come to me and she said, I'm sorry. I said, what? She said, I'm sorry. I said, say that again. Just one more time. She said, I'm sorry. Boy, that felt so good. I hadn't heard that in 20 years. And she said, baby, I'm sorry. And she said, if God roots you and I up in our retirement years and sends us to Podunk and makes us start over, she said, I promised you, the day I got married, I'd follow you to the dropping off place and drop off with you when you drop off. A few minutes, my little girl come around. She was a crying. And she said, Daddy, I'm sorry. I said, what? She said, Daddy, I'm sorry. If God moves you, I gotta go too, because I ain't got a job. Now you hear me? I hope God lets me stay at that church. It's always been my desire to pastor only one church. I hope God lets me do that. I've been there almost 24 years. I'd love to stay there another 150 years just to aggravate some people. I don't plan on going. Every day of my life, somebody says, when you're going to go full time? I just laugh at them. God lets me preach as much as I can preach nearly every day of my life. God has been so good to me. It takes five people to do everything that I have an opportunity to do. But I'm here to tell you, I hope God lets me stay. I'd like to stay till I'm 155. I plan on staying. But you know what? If I'm going to have the blessing of God upon my life and the touch of God upon my life, I've got to get my sign down and say, God, this is not my church. This is not my parsonage. This is not my people. This is not my vineyard. God, this is your church, and this is your vineyard, and these are your people. I just want to be in your will. I just want to know your touch. Let me tell you something, man of God. If you feel God a moving and rearranging your life, follow God. Follow God. Follow God. Get that sign off of your heart. And I feel like I need to say this tonight. If there's a preacher's wife here, in the name of God, sweetheart, don't be the reason your husband lives the rest of his life out of the will of God. You ought to thank God you're not married to a drunk. Before you start bad-mouthing that churchy pastors, they put clothes on your back and food in your stomach. Shut up. Can I get a witness right there? And I believe there's a lot of men miss the will of God. And God help any preacher's wife that says to her husband, it's me or the will of God. Oh, ma'am, don't ever put yourself between your husband and the will of God. You say, but I'm afraid of change. I'm afraid to go where I've never been. Well, I want to remind you, God's already been there. I said, God's already been there. He's, hallelujah, he's gone before you. He's lowered the mountain. He's exalted the valley. I want to tell you, bless God. There's peace in the will of God. There's blessing in the will of God. There's goodness in the will of God. Get that sign off of your heart and say, God, anytime, any place, anywhere, invade my life, revolutionize my life, interrupt my life. I'd rather have God than anything. I really believe a lot of preachers in the sunset years of their life need to make changes for the church's sake, but they will not let go. Sir, it is not your church. It is not the house that Babe built. It is not the house that Ruth built. It is not the house that Dr. Dudiger built. It's the Lord's church. It's the Lord's vineyard. Put your life into the hands of God. But you say, preacher, I'm afraid to move. I'm afraid to go to another territory. I'm afraid to let go. I don't know what's out there. Lord God, honey, I don't know what's out there either. I don't know what tomorrow holds. But thank God, I'm glad. Hallelujah. I know who holds tomorrow. And he's never made a mistake. And he's never done anything wrong. Put your life in the hands of God. He's able to run your life. Take the sign down. Let go and let God. Oh my. Sometimes the servant and his service has a do not disturb sign. Number two, I thought about this. A lot of times the saint concerning his spirituality. I believe there's a lot of believers sitting out in these pews tonight. God wants to fill you with the Holy Ghost. You say, I thought you was a Baptist preacher. I am. I'm a Holy Ghost Baptist preacher. You can't take it out of the Bible. Be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be ye filled with the Holy Ghost, the fresh oil, the fresh unction. But grow ye in the grace and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus. May I remind you, saints, there's a deeper depth, there's a higher height, there's a wider river, there's a broader coast. Get your sign down, get your sign down, and say, God, I'm going out into the deep water. Go on for God. You ain't seen nothing yet what God can do. Hello. But here you sit like this. Well, bless God, I give up smoking. And bless God, I give up drinking. Bless God, I ain't a heathen no more. Looks like that ought to be enough. You just getting started. Well, bless God, I pay my tithes. And I go to church on Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. I'm doing enough. You just getting started. I'm still a Baptist. But if the average Baptist would just take that sign down and fling open the gable into your soul and say, Holy Ghost, fill me, thrill me, and lift me. Son, Lord God, you talk about green pasture. Hey, has it ever dawned on you, Jesus, that I've come that you might have life more abundant? We don't just have joy, joy unspeakable. We don't just have peace, but peace that passes all understanding. We don't even have a cup. We don't even have a full cup. Lord God, young as David said, my cup runneth over. Get your sign down. Go with God. Let him lead you into the green pasture. A lot of us are like Ezekiel. He saw that river coming out of the throne, and he stepped, at least he stepped in. Here's most Baptists, they're gomming around in it with their toe. And that's why you're going to die with the toe itch and athlete's foot. Can I get a witness right now? But he got in the ankles. That's good. Bless God, that's better than standing on the bank. But God said, whoop! He said, all right. I can't take a few more steps. And he got out there on the knees. Good, ain't it? That's better than getting toe rot. And most of us would have just been glad to get on the knee. But God said, hey, whoop, frip. So he waited on out there some more. And he got waist deep. Good, ain't it? That's better than the knee. That's better than the ankle. That's better than being on the bank. But God said, I ain't done yet. Ezekiel, I need to tell you what Isaiah said. Son, the eye has not seen and the ear has not heard, and it's neither entered into the heart of a man the things that God had prepared for them that love him. And that ain't talking about heaven. That's talking about right now. Someone said, I'm going to let the glory roll when the roll is calling glory. You ought to let it roll right now, praise God, because your name is written in glory. Well, Lord God, preacher, when I get to heaven, I'm going to shout all over the promised land. There ain't nothing wrong with down here. Oh, when I get to heaven, I'm going to let her rip. Let her rip, tater chip, right now. You can have a little heaven to go to heaven in. The songwriter said, I'm living in Canaan. now. Come on in, boy. The water's fine. And he said, okay, I'm going to take one more step. Well, let me ask you this. How many folks from the... I'm in Burke County asking y'all who's from the... Bless God, every one of you is from the country around here. If you live downtown Morganton, you from the country. And you know where Drexel is. That's redneck capital. That's where you live. How many's ever played in a creek growing up? Let me ask you this, boy, this country. How many's ever stepped in a sinkhole? Now, up north, they'd have said sinkhole. Sank. Sank is deeper and quicker than sink. How many's ever stepped off in a sinkhole? Son Ezekiel took that final step. And he got to swimming. He starts to walking in the Spirit. He starts to praying in the Spirit. He starts leaning on the Spirit. But praise God, he's a swimming. He's a swimming. Did you know there are three speeds to the Christian life? Yeah. If we wait upon the Lord, yeah. Yes, yes. We can walk and we can run. But don't forget the third gear. Praise God, we can fly. Time out. You know where most independent, fundamental, premium, and no literature Baptists are? They're clucking in the valley like a bunch of turkeys when they could be soaring on the mountains like an eagle. Woo-hoo! Now bless God, preacher. I'm here. Get on with it. You've got exactly 55 minutes to move me. I'm out of here. Bless me if you can, Bubba. And here you sit. Amen. Oh, okay. That's the saying. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior. Oh, I don't feel like singing no more. Hello? Somebody beside of you. Woo! Hallelujah. You're going like, hush, I'm trying to sleep. Hello? Bless God, preacher, I don't smoke, I don't cuss, I don't dip. That ain't true for some people in this section. And I don't do this. And I don't, bless God, preacher, I'm not going to the bars. I'm not going to the strip clubs. I'm not running around on my wife. I'm a pretty good person. Get that sign down. Get that sign down. Let God grow you. Let God move you. Let God anoint you. You ain't seen nothing. What God can do in your life. The saint and his spirituality, the servant and his service. Number three, I want to spend just a moment here. Well, here's where God got me in that room. A lot of people have the sign up, the sinner, concerning his soul. Don't bother me, God. I'm not an atheist. I don't burn down churches, and I don't rip pages out of the Bible, but I ain't going to get saved. I don't want to be saved. I don't need to be saved. God, I don't want you or nobody else interrupting my lifestyle. And let me fill you in something, Bubba. When God moves in, he will interrupt your lifestyle. Hello. But I'm not that bad of a person. I don't commit murder. I don't commit adultery. I'm not that bad a person. God, I'm young. I got plenty of time. Maybe one day I'll settle it. Oh, sinner, he's speaking and he's knocking. You know it's God. You've heard him before. You've felt him before. You've been wooed before. But that sign's up. God, leave me alone. I'm comfortable. I like where I'm at. God, I'll do it on my time scale. I'll leave a lot of people. They go to hell without God every day with a do not disturb sign on their heart. You preachers tonight that's been preaching longer than I've been living, see if you can help me with this. Here sits, and I'm not necessarily meaning you fellas, so don't get offended. But have you ever noticed here sits two people in church? They hear the same song. They hear the same message. They're in the same atmosphere. And one's broke up so bad, he's weeping a pool of tears. And you can hardly sing the first stanza of an invitation. Do they flee out of that pew and kneel before God and beg God for mercy? And the fella sitting right beside of them never shed a tear, never changed facial expression. He came unmoved and he leaves unmoved. Could it be? Could it be? God don't bother me. I fly to most of my meetings and sometimes I drive. I drove to this meeting. There's not an airport in Morganton. So I drove to this meeting. Not this particular meeting, but most of the time if I drive, I have a gun with me. I love hunting. I love the shooting sports. And I love guitar playing. And I'm not good, but I've got a couple of guitars. So usually if I'm going to driving, I have a gun with me or a guitar. And I take them in my room because I don't want nobody to break in my car and get my gun or get my guitar. Now, I wouldn't mind if I had some golf clubs, but you won't find none of that worldly stuff in my van. Golf, that makes people say bad things. You can't do that. You can't do that and be spiritual. You might be saved, but you can't be spiritual and do that. At least I couldn't. That's why I quit. And a lot of times when I leave my motel room, I put that do not disturb sign because I don't want them strangers in there tempted to steal my gun or mess with my guitar. Boy, the other night I hung that sign on that door and the Holy Ghost said, yeah, boy, you probably got a lot of stuff in your heart you don't want me messing with. You probably got a lot of stuff in your little secret motel room you don't want me nosing around. Oh, son, I'm going to tell you something, buddy. It's one thing when the preacher preaches to you, but when God Almighty lets you have it, you've been preached to. And I believe a lot of people, I believe they're good people. I believe they're moral people. I believe they're somewhat honest people. They're not atheists. They don't hate God. They don't burn down churches. They don't tear pages out of the Bible. But they don't want God to move and revolutionize and inconvenience them. And they got that sign up. Not over here, God. Take it somewhere else. And you hear me one day, he'll quit speaking. And one day he'll quit knocking. And one day he'll take it somewhere else. You better get that sign off of your heart. One of the heroes of my ministry, up to him until the day he died, was Mays Jackson. I love that old man of God. He recommended me to the church where I've been at now. Almost 24 years of my life. My little wife was 19 and I was 22. We took that little church. It's been a good trip. I love Mace Jackson. Mays Jackson said years ago he was preaching outside of Reidsville, North Carolina, preaching in a little old country church. And some of you may remember a lot of time the old-timey country churches would have a cloth hanging over the pulpit. And on top of the cloth was a little light that goes on a piano sometime. You ever seen the light over top of the pulpit? And Brother May said he was preaching that week. Said he noticed a man came every night and sat on the left-hand side. He said, I really felt God had spoke to that man during that meeting. And he said on Friday night when he got through preaching, Brother May said, he said, Joe, I've never done this before or since as far as I know. He said, I don't even know why I did it to this day. He said, but at the end of my sermon, I reached up and I flipped that light off. He said, I don't know what made me do that. He said, I just reached up there and flipped that light off. And he said, when I flicked that light off, said that man jumped up, started screaming, and ran out the building like a wild man. One of the deacons in the church fell in behind him and found him in the parking lot rolling around on the ground like a dog having a fit. And that deacon said, my God, man, what's wrong with you? And he said, oh, God. Oh, God. He said, man, what's wrong with you? He said, God been speaking to me in this revival meeting. And I've been rebelling against God. And he said, when that preacher reached up there tonight and turned that light off, he said, God turned the light out on my soul. He said, sir, I'm as good for hell if I was already there. For when that preacher turned that light off, God turned the light off in my soul. Brother May said he went back to that community next year, and sure enough, that man had died. Nobody ever heard where he got right with God. And I'm telling you, God is so gracious to speak to us one time. I got to close, but do you realize tonight God could have let everybody in this building go to hell and still be holy and still be sovereign and still be righteous and still be God. But mercy and love and grace, he spoke to us. Don't shove him away. Don't keep your sign up too long. Because I'm going to tell you something, buddy, if he ever turns the light out, there's no hope. For 6 or 7 hours, God wrestled me in that bed that night. Boy, I didn't sleep a bit, but I woke up more, but I got up more refreshed. I can't explain it. Got up that morning, went to the door, and Brother Buddy, as I took that sign off, that was another part to that sign. On the other side of that sign, it said, made service requested. Boy, here he come again. And he said, Joe, you need to turn your sign around from do not disturb to Holy Spirit help requested. Woo! He said, Joe, if you'd have had that make up my room sign, he said that little maid going down the hall would have stopped. Lord have mercy. Woo! Amen. Woo! Glory to God. Hallelujah. Son, I'm about as drunk as a fish. Listen to me. Hey, he'd have said, boy, that maid could have been going down the hallway on her daily journey. And if she'd have seen that sign, she'd have stopped and turned and came into your room. He said, boy, hey, I'm a walking down the avenue. If you'll get your sign turned around. Woo! I'll stop and I'll turn in and I'll invade your life. I want to say, turn your sign around. Turn your sign around. Holy Spirit, help request it. God, come on in right now. Invade my life. Mess it up. Yeah. Some of you tonight, I know this ain't a camp meeting sermon, but this is what God Almighty put on my heart. Some of you tonight, you know how close you are from normal Christian living to phenomenal Christian living. You know how close some of you are tonight from a fresh anointing of the Holy Ghost? One simple act. Flip that sign around. Hey! Fanny Crosby, the great hymn writer, blessed assurance, saved by grace, I shall know him. He hideth my soul. Rescue the perishing. Safe in the arms of Jesus. She had a dream one night that she was in a church. And Jesus Christ of Nazareth came in the back door. And he got to walking down the aisle and stopping by people's pews and getting them by the hand and leading them down to the altar and saving them. And she said, when Jesus got to my pew, she said, I thought, I'm poor. I'm a little poor blind girl. Surely he can't or don't want to do anything for somebody like me. And she said, so I cried out, Savior! Savior! Hey, would you hear my humble cry? Sweet Lord, while on others, Jesus, please, while on others, thou art calling, don't forget the little blind girl. I want you to. I need you to. Do not pass me by. Whew! And said he took me by, glory to God. Somebody ought to shout right there. And she said he took me by the hand, led me to the altar. And she said I woke up crying. The tears wet my pillow. And I was saying it over and over again. Do not pass me by. Do not pass me by. While on others thou art calling, do not pass me by. I want to tell you, God has been in this place and God has been in this room. His word is preached. His Holy Spirit has moved. His Son's been glorified. He's going to save somebody. He's going to bless somebody. He's going to anoint somebody. He's going to use somebody. And you ought to cry out, every one of you tonight, from your pew, oh Lord, while on others thou art calling. Hey, 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 Jesus, over here, turn your sign around. And let God do a work in your heart. There may be a preacher here tonight needs to get his sign turned around. Might be a good member of a church tonight that's saved. But you need to get your sign turned around. And I believe this tonight with all my heart. As a young person in this room tonight, you're lost. And you know it. And God Almighty has been speaking. And God Almighty has been knocking. I love you. And let me plead with you in the name of Jesus. Turn that sign around. Say, Jesus, while on others thou art calling, do not pass me by. And I got some good news for you. He won't. He won't. He'll stop and do a work. But you got to take your sign from do not disturb. The Holy Spirit help requested. Let's stand tonight together.